From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WGDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGVZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Well, the goaltender did, and now he's going to get a chance. That can't score! They've given the Wild a 1-0 lead. Congestion and back and forth. They can still control their destiny as here comes Buck. He takes it across, score! Zucker! With 20 seconds remaining in regulation. Thompson to the goal before it's overtime. Here comes Zucker. Takes it wide. Rolls it right in front of Dudnik. Gets it down by Holzer. Back to Keith with a shot. One save by Dudnik.
We will rock you. We will whoop some Black Hawk ass is what we'll do.
You big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it. Wild win. Wild win, and they're in. They only needed one. They're in.
Blood on your face. Big disgrace. Thinking you can all over the place.
I'm not worried either. We're in. I knew Mike knew what he was doing. Oh, I sprained it. 2-1.
Damn it, Maverick.
Extending the OA games to an 11-game winning streak. Go Wild.
Blood on your face. Big disgrace.
Somebody better put you back into your place.
We will rock you.
Wow.
Think we won't?
We will rock you.
Because people like to say salsa.
I like to say salsa. I like to put a salsa all over the Blackhawks. Ouch. I keep catching it on stuff.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable hockey game last night. For the first two periods, I was sitting there watching at my TV going, you son of a
sword.
The typical Minnesota fashion, you're just...
It was getting kind of hectic.
My dog was so antsy, up and down, running all over the place. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Are you all amped up because I'm throwing things at the TV? And then all of a sudden, boom! Mikhail Granlund scored a goal. He deked out Corey Crawford, one of the better goalies in the NHL. And then just 4 minutes later, my guy, your guy, all of our guys. Zucker.
Zuck.
9 screws in his shoulder. They put a plate in there after he had that clavicle just cracked, I want to say, back in February.
Son of a...
First game back, he's a difference maker, scoring the game-winning goal. These Wild are unstoppable on the road. Let's just not have him play at home. Best of 7 series, depending on who they play. They still have 2 games to go, at Nashville tomorrow, then at St. Louis on Saturday to wrap up the regular season.
I want to speak on behalf of the Wild right now.
I wasn't done yet. Okay.
Go ahead. I want to make a point then.
Go ahead.
I just want to go ahead with what you're saying, and I just want to say to everyone that we may play in the playoffs, we're just going to play at your place. We'll forfeit all the home games, and we'll just play them all at your house.
And I'm going to ask you a question about that coming up in 4.5 questions, because it just makes absolutely no sense. 3 losses in a row, obviously against good teams, but Chicago has a better record, more points, and the Minnesota Wild are chasing Chicago. And then they can go in Chicago, albeit without Patrick Kane, but still Taves and Corey Crawford and the rest of the guys that are very good for Chicago.
Nettie's gone, isn't he, from the kid that was from here?
A Yeti? What's a Yeti?
Nettie.
Nick Leddy?
He plays with the Rangers. He used to play with the Blackhawks as of last year. He's from here. He's from Hopkins, right? He's gone now. I noticed that because I was watching.
Proud of you. How about those Timberwolves?
I don't know what to say about them. I couldn't be happier. I don't mean that. I mean, they're horrible. That's what we want.
We have some of the worst teams in professional sports history.
It's bad. It's bad. We lost. A lot of points, though. We can rack up the points.
Timberwolves?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem. I was arguing with Hardwood Rob. He wants Jahlil Okafor still.
Like, I don't want him. I'm glad you said his name.
Are you a nutbag? We've been saying his name since yesterday. You decided to break whatever it was that we
the
were...
The code.
Yeah.
He said he wants
Jahlil Okafor. He wants somebody that can rebound and play defense. And I said, well, if that's what you want, he is definitely not your guy.
Yeah. We don't want Jahlil Okafor.
But we'll take him if we have to.
I don't know.
We'll take him. Because if the other guy's gone, if Cat's gone, the who shall not be named, the one and only the who shall not be named that remains, if he's gone after the first pick and we have the second pick and Jahlil Okafor's there, then you got to take
him. Walk on down there and grab Frank.
No. No.
Get Frank.
No.
No? Why?
Not at number two. Not at number two. I'm sorry.
So Okafor.
I guess.
Oh, my God. You didn't say that.
It's one or
he
two.
He sucks.
He does suck. And I've been trying to get that through your head for the last 2 weeks. And finally,
why do you want him?
It's not that I want him. He's a consolation prize.
He's got, you know what? He's got a lot of upside. You can just tell he's such a kid still.
Okay.
He really, yeah.
He's so clumsy.
So raw. He is. He's like a baby giraffe.
Yeah. Everybody,
the other kid's polished.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go ahead and say that.
He's a lot more refined than Okafor.
Well, in what way, though? I mean, he plays defense.
Like
he runs
you
the court. But, but around,
he shoots. He's got the outside shot. He's
but
got
not inside.
Free throws?
Not inside, though.
Well,
his inside
he'll
game
put on
good.
Some weight, too, I'll
yeah,
bet.
I would think so.
I don't know.
But back to that Wild game. My God.
Oh, my God. I mean, Zuck is back. The Zuck.
He's the reason, man. I know we talk about Devin Dubnyk being the reason for the turnaround, the 180-degree turnaround, the trade. The second best trade the Minnesota Wild made this season, thanks to Chuck Fletcher, was Chris Stewart. That guy is a man beast.
A
number
44,
not only can he go up in anybody's face and just clock him one,
yeah.
He's great on the ice, too. He had so much momentum and energy on the ice. I love that guy. Love him.
What
remember?
What was he weigh, about 230?
I don't
240?
Know.
He's a big
know.
Guy.
Could use braces.
Does he have bad chiclets?
I think so. Most hockey players do. But seriously, think about this. Back in January 14th, when the Minnesota Wild made the trade for Devin Dubnyk, they were in 12th place in the Western Conference, an afterthought around the NFL. Instead, since Doobie Doob came along, 27-8-3, headed back to the postseason, punctuating one of the NHL's biggest turnarounds in the wild card era. Boom, just like that.
I would think it was... Wouldn't you think it was the best all-time for the number of games they had? To turn
sure.
it around from being that damn bad to that good in the same number of games.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they went on a three-game skid here just recently.
One of the things that I hate...
Still, though.
One of the things that I hate is when we're winning, the Wild are winning, and the other team pulls their goalie. It seems like we give up at least a goal every single time. The same thing happened last night. They pulled Corey Crawford. The Wild were winning 2-0. They pulled Crawford, Bickle, boom, scores. 2-1. Then we do all we can to hang on to our knickers to finally hang on to win the ball game.
That's
not
that's
a
why,
ball game.
That's
it's
why
a puck
they pulled
game.
The goalie, though. Yeah, man, yeah. Not that a goalie should be that big a difference maker.
But you have 6-on-5, so it's
yeah,
basically a power
yeah,
play.
Yeah, of course it is.
2-1 victory, though. Dang. First time in franchise history that the Minnesota Wild have gone back-to-back-to-back postseason berths. But 3 years
Chicago,
in a row.
And then it went Avalanche, Chicago. We got to knock down the door this time.
Yeah.
We got to knock down the door. We got the kind of team to do it.
Who do you want to play?
I want Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want Chicago.
I don't. Chicago's not good enough.
They're
I don't
not.
Think
no, they're
don't
not think the kind of. Yeah, we're going to get paired higher. I think so. I don't know. It'll end up being Anaheim or St. Louis. Watch. Damn it. If it's Anaheim, we're gonna have a pretty tall order.
The thing is with Anaheim, though, every game that the Minnesota Wild have played against Anaheim, it's always been close, at least. The Wild haven't beaten Anaheim. They're tough. They're fast. They're big.
They're imposing.
They're unbelievable. They have 107 points. They lead the Western Conference. So right now it looks like if the season ended today, the best of 7-game series for the Minnesota Wild would be against St. Louis. Who they play, they wrap up the regular season on Saturday in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And just I want to say, it was a couple of weeks ago, it was the first time that they'd beaten St. Louis in St. Louis in like a decade.
I thought it was like
if ever.
13 times in St. Louis, so that could be over that period of time, I'm sure. But 13 visits, I believe, to St. Louis before they finally took care of that jinx this year. It's incredible. I don't know. I hope that it's Chicago. I guess St. Louis would be... I don't think we're going to get Chicago, though.
It's not going to be Chicago. It's either going to be St. Louis or Nashville.
Yeah, I'd take Nashville. I would take Nashville. We had their number two. We beat them twice on the road.
We play Nashville tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
So the Wild's potential playoff matchups are the final two games of the regular season.
Nashville and St. Louis. Yeah.
Unless Anaheim takes a dump.
They may try to dump. They may try and take a big. They may try to crap the bed to get the Wild. Who knows? Well, they got our number.
Well, don't you think? I mean, if you're Anaheim, you'd rather be you'd rather play Winnipeg.
Yeah, why not just get rid of the Wild now?
Because the Wild are potentially, and I know they've lost three. They lost three games in a row, and that stopped the three-game losing streak at home when they played Chicago last night. But still, the Wild are one of the hottest teams in the NHL. Just last week, were rated number one in the recent power rankings. So you have no idea that the Wild are truly the wild card, because they can come to your house and serve some smack right up in your mush,
in your grill. I look. Rather than let the Wild survive, if I'm Anaheim, to let the Wild go out there and start building momentum like they did all the second half of this season, and find a win here, find a win there, knock out a couple teams, and catch them while they're riding that momentum again. I don't know about that. I think you just let them show up and them not thinking they can beat you like they know they can beat the other teams, and maybe get them there. And then you have enough after a Wild. I'm thinking like Anaheim, you know? Get them early. You got to beat them all anyway, but I don't think I'd want to have the Wild catch fire in the playoffs.
No.
That we'd be dangerous if we get going here. I think this is the kind of team that just festers on that.
The Wild have the third best odds in the entire Stanley Cup playoffs, according to Las Vegas, of winning the whole shebang.
Well, from day one.
Shebang.
In Denver, played against Colorado here, then over at their place. They had us ranked number one, most likely to win the Stanley Cup. This team, we thought after we picked up a couple, two, three, four different players, we thought that the team would be able to get past what we did last season. Second round, advance on. It was a hell of a fart.
Excuse me?
I do it too, all the time.
One night after squandering what should have been the clinching of the playoffs against Winnipeg in St. Paul at the Xcel Energy Center, they go and do this to me. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm going to have heart palpitations.
You know what? If you watch them here at this place, It's going to be exciting. I don't know why, but there's extra added sort of pressure on them, I guess. I don't know why.
How did this flip? Last year during the playoffs, the Wild could only win at home, it seemed like. And then now,
it's like an us against them mentality.
Only win on the road.
It's like when they go on the road, and this is how we used to win games too with the Vikings. We'd make it us against them. Like the only people in the room that were for us was us. They go out there and just take something out of their backyard and right in front of their people, whoop their ass right in front of all their people, and get on the plane and come back with a W. Huh. I mean, that's the mentality you have to have, is just to go in there and take something out of their house.
Have to.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that they've got the right mentality. I don't know what the difference is. You know, whether they get to go to the ballpark later, you know, they stick around with family, distractions, kids. I don't know. I really don't know.
Everybody else in the history of sport.
Yeah.
Forever and ever and ever, amen. Back to Greece and Rome and even before. Back to the Garden of Eden, if they used to play tchotchkes back then. I don't even have any idea.
The ancient games.
You always play better when you're at home, except the Minnesota Wild. They are the jankiest team when it comes to anything this season. Anything you expect the Minnesota Wild to do, they're not going to do it. They're going to do it their own way. They're going to take a goalie who was in the AHL out of the league, and he's going to turn into the best goalie, possible MVP candidate. You're going to do the same thing on the road against teams that are tough. St. Louis, Nashville, Chicago. You're going to win on the road.
Fine.
And you have the Detroit Red Wings coming to town. Can't beat them. Cannot beat them at home.
If we can just get one back home, we know we're going to win them away. We just need to find a way to sneak one at home.
That's why I think the sneaky thing might be not having home ice advantage and playing four games away, three games back here at the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul.
We are the home of the home ice advantage.
And I'll talk to you about that coming up at 4:32 of 4.5 questions. I have a feeling that that might be the reason why they suck at home. Because they are so embarrassed by the buffoons in the public relations office or whoever, marketing director, whoever came up with the home ice advantage. The dumbest, most least creative thing I have ever heard for a multi-million dollar, almost billion dollar franchise. Oh, I got a great idea. This is going to be cute. See, let's make one of those terrible towels like the Homer hanky. And listen to this slogan. This is going to put us over the top. We're the home of the home ice advantage.
Green light it. That's a good idea. Who okayed that? How bad are the Twins?
That's good.
What we want to know next. Come on back, 651-989-9105, if you'd like to call and put in your 2 cents on just how bad the Minnesota Twins are already. 0 points in 2 games. 11-0.
They're not points.
A couple days
runs.
Ago, zero. Yeah, runs. Yeah.
It's so
did I say? I said points.
Yeah, I don't know.
0-4 and 0-11. Well.
9 hits total, everybody.
That's
two
good.
Games, 9 hits total. Ricky Nolasco, he lasted 3 innings.
Well, I don't know if it's the cool weather or the slick balls. I don't know about you.
Might be a little bit of both.
Come on back, everybody. Radioactive Sports.
Do you live for hunting and fishing? Tune in to Ticket Outdoors with Brian Zeff.
Jerry Yellen, a World War II fighter pilot, served our country most honorably as a captain.
We were constantly reminded of us commitment to the other people. We were a nation of people of you, commitment to the other people. That's what you learn in the military. We learn to kill, but you learn that your life isn't worth anything without the guys around you or the girls around you.
Ticket Outdoors, presented by Dan's Southside Marine. 2 hours every Wednesday at 7 on 105 The Ticket. Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
There's a high fly to left center field that's chasing Cespedes or whoever's out there. It's not Cespedes.
Romine's
out
there. That's a bad game.
And for the first time since Ty Cobb played for the Tigers, they've started the season with back-to-back shutouts. Twins need to find a way to win a ball game, but within that, they need to start scoring some runs.
That's a lot of it. I didn't say runs. I just said they need more points. Yeah, they got beat by 0-4 points and 0-11 points. Well, we'll get there. Everyone take it easy. There's 160 more to go.
I love Mike Berardino. We talk to him every day at 5:30. I don't necessarily love him in person because he's kind of a, well.
Wow, he's just, I'll tell you what he is. He's just a crusty, just a senile.
If you remember.
He's just a grump.
If you remember, this is what Torrey Hunter said about Mike Berardino.
Hey, Mike is kind of a prick, huh?
Then went on to say this.
You're a prick, man. I don't even know you.
And again.
You're a prick, seriously.
Yeah. So,
he
anyway.
Was serious
but he's funny.
That.
He's funny. 2 games in, say this much about the Minnesota Twins. There's definitely room for improvement.
Yeah.
Starting
yeah,
pitcher Ricky yeah. Nolasco. Chased before he retired a single batter in the fourth inning. The Twins' offensive impotence, it's a big word for Mike Berardino, reached franchise record proportions in Wednesday's 11-0 loss to the Detroit Tigers. Only 39 degrees in Detroit.
Well,
icicles. There were icicles there.
Might have been because it was cool.
Bert Blyleven was wearing a cap, a Circle Me Bert cap.
Bert Be Home Blyleven.
The last American team to open the season with consecutive shutout losses since the 1977 expansion Seattle Mariners.
Ooh.
18-inning scoreless drought to open Paul Molitor's managerial career.
He'll be fine.
That sets the record for the longest scoring drought to open a twin season in the club's 55-year history. There's already hashtag Fire Molitor on Twitter.
That's not funny. Look, give him 88 more chances. That'd put him at 90. Give him 88 more chances. If he loses 90.
We're going to lose 100. There are going to be 100 losses for the Minnesota Twins this year.
Now,
it's not going to be good.
Listen to this. Listen.
What?
How the hell can everyone say what they were saying about this damn squad? And you lose, granted, okay, you lose Santana for 80 games. Irvin's got to sit out a little bit. But how is everyone going to go on to say now, we're going to lose 100 instead of being, 500?
Well, you remember what happened with the Minnesota Vikings back in September when the announcement was, you guys were at Wild Bills. I said Adrian Peterson indicted child abuse charges. And you remember how long it took the Vikings to get back to a decent resemblance of a football team after that. I feel
that's what
rocked Irvin Santana and that news rocked me as a fan, as a broadcaster, a guy that doesn't even have to be in the dugout. Somebody that was such high expectations, a team with such high expectations, a guy you paid $55 million to, the largest contract in Minnesota Twins franchise history. He's taking drugs and he's out for half the year.
You don't think we can pitch around that, huh? Because some of the experts think that we can pitch around it a little bit and just kind of make it. Well, I mean, like the Vikings, like the Wild. You go out and find a guy that can patch up a little bit, and his name is Dubnyk.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, we're in the playoffs.
Ricky Nolasco sure did a good job of pitching around that today.
You know what? But say what you want to about Nolasco, but now this Phil Hughes.
Hughes didn't have the too bad of a game on Monday.
Yeah, he had two
pitches that got away from him that were home runs, and they lost 4-0. But other than that,
yeah,
Ricky Nolasco, three innings, six runs, six hits, four walks, striking out two. The Tigers had 15 hits.
So? They were lucky.
It's hard to win when that happens.
I don't get it. I mean, I really don't get it. How can they endure the cold? They've been down spring training themselves. Don't blame it on the cold. I mean, that's what Molitor alluded to a little bit. I don't know if it's cold weather or slick balls or whatever. Both teams are in that. Just suck it up and go play some baseball. And I would hope the Molitor would be livid at this kind of start. I don't care if Santana's in the mix or not. Get in their face and let them know this isn't going to be tolerated. That's all there is to it.
Ricky Nolasco only has an ERA of 18 right now, so.
He'll be fine. He's in shape this year. You heard Mike, the crotchety Mike Berardino, say that he's gotten himself in shape, and he's back and on a mission.
651-989-9105. Have you already written off the Minnesota Twins? Is it too early? Am I on the ledge? Am I just your typical Minnesota sports fan worried about the worst? Realistically worried about the worst. Or is it a long season?
Games.
It's going to be fine. Watch, we'll win tomorrow, and it'll be fine. We'll be right back into it.
Well,
but we're on pace to lose 162 games, and that's not good. That's much more.
Well, Troy Hawkins used to say it's a marathon, man, not a sprint.
The 90-plus losses we've had for the last four seasons. 162 is much more than that, by the way, just so you know.
What if they ran 88 games off?
Perfect.
Just go 90 and up. Just 0 and 90.
Yeah.
Paul, that's not good. The skipper says, yeah, I've tried everything.
There
you
is
guys
good news.
Don't get it.
There's very good news. So, opening day, home opener next Monday, Target Field.
What's the weather going to be like?
Sunshine 67.
Let's go down there and grab some Cuban sandwiches.
Perfect.
What do you say?
Yeah.
I'm going down there.
It happens to be on when our show's on. It's the only problem.
Well, they're going to have to fill in for you and I. We're going to go and report on that game, and we'll phone home.
E.T.?
Just like E.T. I'm going over the Kent Herbeck thing, and I'm going to just have the college Bloody Days. Mary.
It's not worth $19.
It is, too.
Is there any Bloody Mary ever in the history of Bloody Marys, unless it has an entire fried chicken on it, that's worth $19? Even if it had an entire fried chicken on it, it wouldn't be worth $19. You get a cold slice of pepperoni pizza,
well,
a couple
really
of cheese cubes.
I don't really care for Bloody Marys
anymore. A beer back. $19?
That's a lot.
It's way too much.
But things at the ballpark are known for that. I mean, they're going to be that way, right? Anything.
I'm already being abused by watching the Twins play at Target Field. Why do I have to be that much more abused when I'm going to try to get hammered so I can make it through the game?
Because we got to play. We got to pay Santana.
No, we don't have to pay Santana.
What if you walked around the inside of the stadium after you got in? You decide you were going to go down for one of those big hot dogs or one of your favorites. And you slide right up in there with your wallet. You order. You get your food. Looks great. Pick it up. Take the first bite out of it. And as you turn and you're taking the first bite out of it, Irvin Santana is looking at you, and he's taking a bite out of one, too.
Hell no.
He's going, these are good, aren't they?
I don't think
I'll meet you here tomorrow. I'm out for 80 games.
Is he even allowed to be within the facility? I mean, you take PEDs and you're gone for 80-plus games. It's just like, dude, here's the deal.
What if he waved you over to one of the stands and he said, you got to try this. These are killer.
These pills are great. You're going to love it. Just chew it up and swallow it down. Don't say anything.
Santana had a booth of his own down there. It's something called the PED. On a stick.
Ped.
It's juice on a stick.
Instead of Pez dispenser, a Ped dispenser. That'd be great.
I feel bad for
him. Not only did the Twins not get any hits and they allowed a bunch of runs, the defense just terrible. Their pitching was throwing wild pitches and this and that. Just, I mean, today's
game.
Get
some rust off. What about the one 2 days
awful.
Ago against Detroit?
That one wasn't that bad, especially compared to this one. Not at all.
It's pretty bad because we only had they put 11 points up on us. I said points again. I love doing
it. Realize the Twins haven't even been to third base yet this year?
Are you serious?
No.
Oh.
They had a big breakthrough today, though. Jordan Schaefer led off the sixth with a double.
Oh.
The Twins' first and so far only extra base hit of the season. He was stranded, of course, at second base.
Oh.
Anibal Sanchez, though, God, he was pretty good. 3 hits over 6 2/3 innings, striking out 6. 300 pitches, though.
You know, one of these days, we're going to get someone down on first base, probably on a walk, I'm guessing, and then we're going to manufacture a run. We're just going to keep hitting him around.
Ah, run.
And we're going to score our first point. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do when we score our first point? Will there be any special...
I'll bring out the champagne that the Wild were spraying all over the locker rooms last night. Torrey Hunter made a nice running catch earlier in the game. He misplayed a double, which turned into a triple. That was nice. Trevor Plouffe allowed a hot grounder, got under him as he dove for the ball. And my favorite one was Jordan Schaefer, who let a single get past him to roll to the wall. That turned into a two-base error. A bunch of runs scored. The guy that hit the ball got to third base. But best of all, Dick Bremer says it at the end. He goes, fly ball out to left field. Cespedes is out there. No, wait. Whoever's out there. Nobody cared by the end of the game. And it's only the second game in. Such a disaster.
They just look at each other instead of calling for it. They're like, are you going to get that or shall I? Because it rolls to the wall. No. Someone's got to go get it, right?
I guess.
Everyone else, though, wants to go up and sit with Santana and eat. They don't want to go. They don't want to run and grab the ball or anything.
Listen to this.
That's sick.
They're 8-9 batters for the Detroit Tigers. Their shortstop, Jose Iglesias, went 4-for-4 with a walk.
He's a good singer.
He scored 3 times. Catcher Alex Avila went 1-for-1, was walked 3 times. He scored 4 times.
You know what? You're trying to rub it in.
No, I'm just telling you the facts.
You're rubbing it in now.
I'm just telling you the facts.
I don't think we Minnesota Twin fans around here want to hear any more of that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I think we're doing fine. I think we're on pace to win some damn games. Uh-huh. I mean, let's put it this way. We're due to win some games. We're due to score some runs.
Mm-hmm.
I'll even ask Mike Berardino what he thinks. I'll ask his crusty ass what he thinks.
Krusty's already going to tell us, oh, you guys, it's only 2 games in. And I get that. I get the fact that it's only 2 games in, but they're almost tying a franchise record for the worst start in Washington Senators history. It's just been bad. Watching Twitter, hashtag fire Molitor already. People obviously aren't taking it seriously, but, I mean, Twins fans are up in arms. I mean, look what we've had to deal with. Minnesota Vikings, that's tough. That's tough what happened with Adrian Peterson. They still somehow finished 7-9. We've had to go through the winter watching the terrible Minnesota Wild until they made the trade for Devin Dubnyk. And the Minnesota Timberwolves have lost, 66 out of 77 games. Whatever it is, it's not good.
You know what? They're trying hard out there. I mean, you're either for us or you're against us. Which one? I mean, what side are you on?
None of your damn business.
You know what? We're going to do 4.5 questions then. We're going to just stop all this nonsense. You carrying on about our home squads, not loving them.
The
way you ought to.
I love them, but they hate
not
me.
The
Why do they hate
not
me?
Not the way you should. So until you start loving these damn teams around here, you're just going to ask me questions.
I love the Wild.
Oh, no, now you do.
And I even love the Timberwolves.
But because you want to get Cat in the draft, in the big lottery. Lottery. What a dumbass. I can't believe they do that. Anyway, we're going to do 4.5 questions, okay? You need to settle down. When we come back, this thing needs to straighten up, and you need to be more of a homer. Wouldn't you like to see someone homer?
No. I hate homers. You can get that on the rest of the radio dial.
No, I mean home runs. It'd be nice to see one.
Oh, I'd like to score a run. That'd be great.
Come on back, everybody. Radio.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better P-test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Obviously, it's only one step, and we've got bigger plans and bigger goal, but I would say that I'm very, very proud of our guys, you know, from where we were, what we overcame, you know, the way that everybody dug in together to make the playoffs is quite an accomplishment.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's proud. He wasn't worried. Mike Yeo.
I was worried.
Mike Yeo.
I'm not worried.
He's not worried.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine.
He got right in there. 2-1.
Why would he be worried anymore? He's clinched a playoff spot. No need to be worried.
You don't want to just now go to sleep on these next 2 games against people that you could potentially face. You could if they weren't the kinds of teams that you were going to face perhaps in the playoffs and get matched up with. But you don't want to slide into Nashville and or St. Louis and just say, okay, well, we're in.
I'm not worried.
But do you want to beat him? Do you want to lose up all your mojo? Do you want to give him any more of your tricks? These last two games, might as well lose.
You better skate hard, though.
No, yeah, I know.
You better skate hard, though. You better not get sluggish against the very people you're going to play against.
So I think the main question here is then, I mean, I don't want to ask this question because I don't want to go off in the home of the home ice advantage again, being the dumbest slogan I've ever heard in my life. Now that you've clinched a playoff spot, the Minnesota Wild have, Mike Yeo, is it time to rest the Dubinator? Is it time to rest some of the other guys? But most specifically, Devan Dubnyk, who's played every single game since being traded here in January.
That's a good question.
That's why I
wish I knew
questions.
More about...
And you answer them.
I wish I knew more about the conditioning of a goaltender in the NHL and how many... I mean, I've talked with Jim Rich about it. I've talked with Tom Reed about this. You and I have talked about it. Like, how many games can you go out there as a goaltender and be sharp? I mean, really, truly sharp, have reaction, you know, like a cat. I mean, Rich has told me that he knows of goaltenders that have been in front of the net for, like, hundreds of games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I say...
Back in the day, though, when people were tougher.
Yeah, well, and Dubnyk's not tough.
No, he's tough. He's the
He's really tough, but I'd say that if he answers yes, I truly think I'm playing well, and I think that I'm still on my game. I think you let it be up to him. If he's tired, this would be the time. When teams like in the NFL, you sit him down, and you rest him, you don't want to get him hurt before the playoffs, you take a guy like Manning out or Tom Brady and you get him out of there.
But I don't think you necessarily go, hey, Doobie, are you tired? And if he says, no, I want to get back out there, I don't care. If you have what Mike Yeo just said, we have much bigger plans than just clinching a playoff berth.
But do you want him to lose his... Do you want the Dubinator to lose that?
He's not going
to. That'd be
to.
The first time he's not played since he's been here.
But here's the worst part. What happens if something, God forbid, something happens to the Dubinator? Doobie, doobie, doo, where are you?
Well,
and then
we had to play
Darcy Kemper or Nicholas Backstrom. I mean, they haven't played since Doobie came here in January.
I know.
They have to have some game action, don't they? Before the playoffs?
I kind of agree with that. Yeah. I mean, anything can happen in sports and we lose Doobie, I mean, we're done. We clearly know that from the first half of the season.
Well, isn't that what they said about losing Josh Harding, then Nicholas Backstrom, and then look at Darcy Kemper and Ilya Brizgalov last year?
They held on. They held on. I mean, it was a great pass that
Anything
we made at the playoffs.
Happen. Anything can happen.
That's the playoffs. I mean, literally, just get in. Just get in, which we did last night. So that's great.
Question two, Adrian Peterson had a bunch of meetings with the NFL yesterday, including that 90-minute sit-down with Commissioner Roger Goodell. Roger and AP hadn't said one single word to each other since Peterson's child abuse story broke back in September. That is until yesterday. The meeting reportedly went pretty well. Peterson highly unlikely to face further discipline from the NFL once he comes off the commissioner's exempt list, which could happen as early as the end of this week. What happens next in the Peterson drama? Once he's reinstated, does he start to get louder about not wanting to play for the Vikings anymore? Because he doesn't have that that thing hanging over his head where it's hard to trade somebody that may or may not be taken off the commissioner's exempt list? Or do you think he settles down a bit, realizing that he's just been a giant douche?
Well, number one, I'd like to applaud the commissioner for climbing out from under a desk and finally coming in and talking with one of these
guys.
He's been in hiding in a bunker for most of this time. I think that, if he's allowed to move on here after April 15th, that he should sit down next and talk at length with his attorney. I think Rusty knows an awful lot more than Dogra and some of those kinds of people. Talk some sense into this guy. I mean, he'll come back. I know that when instinct kicks in for Adrian Peterson, he's Superman on the field. Get him back in shoulder pads. Make him realize how lucky he is to still make $12.75 million. He's the highest paid running back, and he didn't play last year. He's got more money coming to him than Marshawn Lynch. Than
LeSean McCoy
with the Bills. I mean, play ball. If you want to chase Emmett Smith, get out there and play. And I think the Vikings should force him to play. It's the right play. I don't really want him here. I'm not so sure that there are some Viking officials in the front office that really particularly would want him to stay here. We know he doesn't. But if you put a helmet and shoulder pads on that kind of guy, he's not going to tank. He
there
will
be
not tank.
No reason Adrian Peterson doesn't come back to play for the Minnesota Vikings whatsoever. He's the one that got into trouble.
Totally.
It doesn't matter how the Vikings responded, because it's not like they responded maliciously. They did everything they could possibly do to keep him on the field. They did everything they could possibly do to protect him and say nice things about him. And they've bent over backwards for Adrian Peterson. So for him to say that he has something against Kevin Warren or this or that or whatever, come on, man. You're 30 years old. I understand the fact that no shots at you whatsoever, but I understand that you've been a coddled football player making multi-millions of dollars, and you've been on the face of Wheaties, and you've done Nike and this and that. I get that. It's time to be a real grown-up.
No kidding. Did he really think that we were supposed to go along with all of the stuff that he's been pulling? Everyone in the front office was supposed to understand and side up with him just because he played for the team?
I don't know. Question three, the Timberwolves lost their 61st game out of 77 games this year. They lost that last night to the Sacramento Kings. The Wolves, my second favorite team in the cities behind the Vikings. I care deeply about what they do and where they're going. The best chance of landing the top two picks since drafting Derek Williams. Went another good game against the Timberwolves last night. They could add another impactful rookie during this summer's draft. Do you think this team is headed in the right direction? Has Flip Saunders righted the ship enough to feel comfortable handing his coaching duties over to Sam Mitchell or possibly another veteran coach? Or do you think Flip's going to hold on to the spot on the sideline for at least another year?
At least another year, yeah. The last thing you want to do is, with these young guys, change the coaching staff again and give them their second bunch of coach. No. They know Flip now. Let's go to war. Let's hopefully pull something decent in the lottery. We got Kevin Garnett here now. Let's see what we can do. Can we keep some people healthy? Can we keep Rubio out there? Can we deal Peck off and get something back for him? Like we are with Peterson. I mean, you got to find a way to stay healthy, and you got to keep the same coaching staff in place for those young. It's a young team. Mm. You got to keep things in place.
Question four, finally, 4.5 questions. I know it's early. We just got done talking, ranting, and raving about the fact that the Minnesota Twins are possibly the worst ever. 160 games to go. I'm seriously concerned we may never win a game for the rest of the season. Heck, they may not even score a single run for the rest of the season. At the very least, it looks like another 90-loss season already. If the Twins were like any other franchise in the history of professional sports, they would have cleaned house a long time ago. Is the culture at Target Field to blame for not only being irrelevant but downright embarrassing?
I think they're, you know, I'm not going to just steal the lines right out of Terry Ryan's mouth, but they are a stable organization.
Losing 90 games.
Well, that's the thing he's got to change. He said that. Look, we've got a lot of things in place, from the farm system to the ownership to some of the players we have out there, some of the new ones that we know are coming up, but we got to find a way to win. I mean, this 90 loss stuff year in, year out is no good, and I've got to change that, he said. Well, yes, today. And I know that it hurts. It's a blow to the team to have a guy like Santana have to sit for a while. In fact, half the season. But you have to find a way to pull up the bootstraps and find a way to, they'll get on track here a little bit. They will. And bring some of those kids up and infuse that new youth and that new surge of energy.
Why not? They have
earlier,
nothing to lose. They have nothing
earlier.
To lose.
I don't want to ruin the kids either. I know how good they are, but just get them in here. The mediocrity thing, they've proven to be solid players. They're bit players. They're role players, but they're not starters.
There's no ceiling on a guy like Jordan Schaefer. There's no Shane Robinson. Eduardo Nunez.
Look,
Torrey Hunter's not getting better.
Yeah, but he's solid. He's a coach.
And that's if you're going to have a coach like Torrey Hunter out there, a player coach out there on the field, you need to have Byron Buxton. Let him come up here and see what happens.
I'd say just try it. I mean, God. That kid's a player.
Yeah.
He's a player. So is Sano.
I do get the fact that they both had injuries last year, and they may be waiting for the halfway through the season to bring him up. I get that. I do. I understand. But there's sure no excitement around the Twins.
It all ended last Friday with the
PED announcement, the 80-game suspension.
They need to make a splash right now and just call some of those guys up early. Do something. Change something. Change what you're doing. It's not working. 0-4, 0-11. Someone pick up a ball bat.
Scoreless in 18 innings. Franchise worst 19 innings. One more inning tomorrow. If they go scoreless, they tie the franchise worst.
I'll be watching. What do you got for half question?
Half question. We're going to talk about the Vikings' three biggest draft needs heading into the draft, and more people are saying that the Vikings are going to select a defensive tackle in the first round. And I know your reaction to that. I know your reaction.
Save it for when we come back, because I want you to say it. I want you to set it up again when we come back and tell everyone what I'm going to do if we select a defensive tackle with the 11th overall choice.
More and more people are saying now Malcolm Brown from Texas. Is it Texas or Texas A&M?
I don't know.
Malcolm Brown.
I don't know.
Pass rusher, defensive tackle. Everybody, I mean, not everybody, but a lot of football sources are saying the Vikings need a defensive tackle because against the run last year, they were not very good. They said that they need, the Vikings need to pair somebody up with Sharif Floyd.
You better pick up a stud middle linebacker.
Or a cornerback.
Let Linval Joseph and the Steven and everyone else that lines up inside take it. Get a stud middle linebacker and stop the run. We're going to take a little break. Come back and tell them what's going to happen, though, with me. When we come back, you tell them what the hell is going to happen if we pick a D tackle in the 11th. Well, with the 11th pick.
Or anywhere in the first round.
Or anywhere in the first round. You're right.
You, as well as I know, that the Minnesota Vikings are not going to draft at the 11th overall selection. They just don't do that. They're going to trade back and get more picks.
Oh, I've seen them do it. You've seen them do it.
No, but not. Rick Spielman doesn't like to do that. He likes to trade back once with Cleveland, get some more picks, and guess who picks
the number
12?
I think it's all circumstantial, don't you? I mean, the way it was working out, the way you want to get a player that you wanted.
He's going to do it again.
I thought he jicky-jacked us last year with Cleveland. I thought that was a mess up. To get that defensive back would have been pretty cool.
He did jicky-jack us the year before, the same deal. Was it Matt Khalil, or that was 2 years ago? He always trades back one. It seems like the last three drafts, twice he's traded back with the Cleveland Browns. One spot.
The Cleveland Browns,
one of the worst teams in the NFL, is always picking one after us. What does that say about the Vikings?
They're easy.
We can deal with them.
They always bite on our bowl. Bowl. Come on back. Radioactive Sports.
On Deck Radio with Pete Wagner and former Twins Gene Larkin and Al Newman.
Paul Molitor definitely is a motivator in his own way. I think Molly will be able to handle that and address it.
He played the game the right way. As great a player as he was, he's a grinder. He's a guy that grinded it day in and day out.
Yes, he did.
Look, he's so intelligent about the game. He kind of gets how tough the game is.
Tune in On Deck Radio, Saturday mornings at 11. Wall-to-wall baseball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
With the 12th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Christian Ponder, quarterback, Florida State.
Inconceivable!
Inexplicable.
It's not our way.
No, it's not.
I like to say salsa.
Do you?
I do.
Some people like to say salsa.
Because people like to say salsa.
I like to say salsa.
And people like to say salsa.
I think we got a big day coming up right around the corner. How many days are we out?
Too many. I wish it was tomorrow.
Yeah, I wish it was too.
A couple of weeks.
We go through this over and over again. Usually once a week we'll talk about what the Vikings truly need. We sort of prioritize what we think they need. Now,
3 weeks, one day, by the way.
22 days. Is that right? 22 days?
Three weeks.
Yeah. I can do state capitals, too.
No, you can.
Any state capital.
New Hampshire.
Hartford.
Not sure.
Oh, wait. That's Concord. Concord, New Hampshire.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
Look it up.
Montpelier.
No, that's Vermont.
Okay.
Huh. Think of that.
Oh.
Let's see. I don't know. Set it up. We said that you'd come back and tell everybody what's going to happen with me, and it will happen. If the Vikings go out and they select a defensive tackle anywhere in the first round, anywhere, what's going to happen?
I want to say it's Danny Shelton from Washington that's climbing up draft boards right now, and I asked you, I think it was last week, I said, dude, a lot of these sources, a lot of these people, your favorite website, BleacherReport.com, there's a guy on there that's saying Danny Shelton is probably going to the Minnesota Vikings at number 11, and you threw your iPad on the floor. I can't remember what you did. You huffed and puffed like a little girl and stomped around a little bit, and you were honest to God. You were serious when you said this to me. You weren't playing around. You liked to joke around. You said, if that happens, that's it.
I'm done.
I'm not going to, what did you say, watch, root, support Minnesota Vikings ever again.
I am. Truly.
Done.
That's it for me.
What happens if it's the best player available? What happens if Warren Sapp sitting there at number 11, like a lot of people are comparing this Malcolm Brown from Texas?
Well, they can say what they want to about him. They can say whatever they want to about him. That is not going to be the thing that's going to get us over the top. You better get a doggone middle linebacker in here or corner. Corner would be nice.
Top three needs for the NFL draft going in. We're 22 days away. I'm heavily, if I was the Minnesota Vikings, I want Trey Waynes in the first round. A cornerback, obviously. Jesus. I want linebacker, whether it's Eric Kendricks, Bernardrick McKinney from Mississippi State. It might be a little bit of a reach there in the second round. And then a guard in the third round. Boom, boom, boom. Three biggest needs, in my opinion. Cornerback, middle linebacker, guard.
See, I mean, well, those are the same three positions for me as well, and I love Trey Waynes. You know that. But I really think that guard's got to be that guard has got to be taken, and taken at a very select, well thought out moment in this draft. You better have, if that guy slides to you, and he's a great offensive lineman, don't wait for something down the road. Don't even think about it. If he's the top guy on the board of any offensive line, if he's still there, get him. That's what. Just get him.
So
don't wait for. Ooh, he's probably okay though. You know, we can get a guy in the fifth round, sixth.
No,
round.
No, I don't want fifth or sixth round. I mean, what happens if the Vikings and Rick Spielman already have a plan in David Yankee or Berger or
look, the things
Mike
that we
Harris,
don't know is how
Austin
how,
Wentworth any
how,
of the guys.
We don't know how well some of those guys were doing and how they were developing. I would think that Yankee has a chance to start. I just do because of what was told to all of us last year before, when he came out in the draft from
and
Stanford.
Especially since they didn't go out and sign anybody. If it was that big of a concern, they would have gone out and signed somebody.
They should have made a bigger effort, I think, with your guy from Cincinnati.
Which is what we'll talk about coming up next, the moves that the Vikings will regret not making this offseason. 651-989-9105. We're talking Minnesota Vikings. We're talking draft. The moves the Vikings did not make, what they're going to do coming forward. Heading forward just 22 days away from the NFL draft. There's still veteran free agents out there that they can sign. June 1st cuts. So many moves that the Vikings could still make. What do you want them to do? 651-989-9105.
Your guy McKinney's in town. He's visiting the Vikings
today. The top 30 are in town. The top 30 event for the Minnesota Vikings.
I talked to someone down there today, and I said, no, listen, walk up to Trey Waynes for me. Mm-hmm. Just say, hey, kid, you're going to love it here.
Yeah.
Just say that. Come on back, everybody. This is Radioactive Sports.
Sports Radio. 105 The Ticket.
We're looking for guys that are smart, tough, physical on the football field. Newman's played for a while within this game, so his knowledge and bringing that to the room will be good. Taylor's been in this game for a while, big physical, tough. He's played safety. He's played underneath at linebacker. Does a lot of different jobs that way. You know, you're going to have a role come in, understand what it is we're trying to do, and now when your number's called, you know, let's step up and be able to play.
Yeah. I'm taking a look at a picture, one of the many pictures, 50 draft predictions.
Sure.
Leading into the NFL draft in 22 days. Picture of our new, acquired in the 11th choice overall in the draft, Trey Waynes.
Oh, look at him.
That's a stud horse right there.
Looking good. Does he have purple gloves on right there?
I think so.
It's meant to be.
I think he might be doing a little workout with us. I'm serious. I think I see some purple standing behind him. I'm not kidding.
It's meant to be.
He's down there right now.
Either that or he's trying out for the Ravens. But today, with the top 30 event going on for the Minnesota Vikings. And the moves that the Vikings will regret, in my opinion, not making this offseason. 651-989-9105 if you want to chip into the conversation. But I think the number one thing, obviously, and you and I have discussed this and how important it is to fill that left guard situation. And again, going back to what we said last break, where we don't necessarily know what the Minnesota Vikings have planned. They've been very hush-hush when it comes to that left guard spot. But David Yankee, fifth-round draft pick from Stanford last year, didn't play a single down. Joe Berger's a backup. Going to be Mike Harris, a swing tackle that they're thinking about moving to the left guard situation. Austin Wentworth was an undrafted rookie, I believe. Wasn't he? Undrafted?
I don't think he was drafted. Yeah, I don't think so.
But I think the number one thing, not fielding a more competitive offer for guard Clint Bowling. He had 5 years, $26 million with the Cincinnati Bengals. The Vikings were there. They may not think they have a problem, but they did offer some money to Clint Bowling, but I don't know. I think they could have grabbed a cheap guard, used a veteran, versatile running schemes, and Bowling's pretty decent at pass protection, which covers up a lot of the problems that Matt Khalil was having last year.
he can help out if he was a good pass protector. I don't know if that's the case, but I think he was a pretty solid player. I didn't really know him when he became a free agent, but then a lot of scuttle was going around about him that he was a pretty good player. You can't get a left guard at a cheap price and get what we need there. We need to spend some money and get the right kind of player in there, and it can't be. We hope it works. It just can't be that
way. But 5 years, $26 million is pretty cheap for a starting caliber left guard.
I don't know if he's that kind of guard, though, that we're looking for.
What are you looking for?
A stud horse. It's
pretty good.
I'm telling you what. Now, I don't know about that, but I mean, I know he's a pretty good player, but he's... That was unbelievably good right there. That was a little bit squelchy. I don't know if you people heard that out there, but he just ripped one. I think that was a pretty... he's a decent offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Decent. Mm. I don't know. I don't want that. I don't want a decent offensive lineman next to Sullivan and next to Khalil. Let's hope that Matt can come back and play right.
Well, the Vikings have made a habit of developing young talent. I mean, look at John Sullivan. They just had a year
Fusco,
his contract.
Too.
Brandon Fusco done the same thing. But on the other hand, I mean, where's Jeff Baca? We talked about him yesterday. Travis Vaughn, Chris DeGear. They're not taking the world by storm by any means.
Man, I want Yankee to work out. I really do. God, all kinds of things were being said, and I understand when an offensive lineman gets drafted, he's not going to just jump in there. He had a veteran player in front of him, but what worries me is that when Charlie Johnson was injured a little bit, it was always Vlad or somebody else filling in. It was never David Yankee. That's the problem.
Didn't even see the field.
I never saw him.
The second thing that I think that the Vikings will regret not making a move for this offseason is signing safety Raheem Moore. I was big on those two guys. Those are the two free agents that I wanted.
That's not your taste, that kind of money. That's the right player.
3 years, $12 million for a safety is cheap again, in my opinion. For all the other safeties that went out there, what's your guy from...
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Talking about, what's his nuts, McCourty from New England. He signed a buttload of money.
Yeah.
Raheem Moore can go out and he can cover. He's not that great of a tackler.
I thought he got a lot more than that, though.
3 years, $12 million. Houston, that's it. So disappointing.
That's a good football player.
Where would you rather have Harrison Smith? Playing in coverage or up in the box?
He does both very well.
I know.
He comes up and strikes pretty good, and he ends up with a boatload of interceptions usually. I mean, he's a good ball hawk.
So would you rather have him play free or strong?
Free, like Paul Kraus, wearing the same number.
So
too.
You want a guy to come up and smack you in the mouth? Play run defense.
I would take someone that would be a little. I mean, Harrison Smith is physical. Don't get me wrong. I mean, his reaction to the run and support on the run is fantastic. In fact,
but
Blanton is pretty good.
He can't play both positions.
No, he can't. But I think that he's better off being back there in that deep third. And I would like someone that could come up and just make a mess in that tackle box.
That's probably why they didn't get Raheem Moore, because he's better playing the free safety spot,
coverage guy.
Yeah. Another thing that I think that the Vikings are going to regret, which they still could do, not finding punter competition for Jeff Locke, the worst punter in the NFL for the last 2 years, despite taking him in the fifth round 2 years ago.
Ukla, another UCLA punter. No, I agree with that completely. I think that everybody on special teams, anyone playing on this football team who intends to start or be that guy on special teams should have competition against them. There was never a year where I didn't have someone even against me. I mean, you always brought another long snapper or two, and that's fine. That's the way you need to. That's what brings it out of everybody. I mean, another punter, another kicker. Everyone should be pushed by somebody else.
Especially when you're the worst in the league the last 2 years. I mean, drafting him in the fifth round overall, I mean, it was just...
I'm big on letting punters and kickers develop, though. It's a different kind of thing. I know you should be able to punt. Just drop the ball, right, and punt it. Well, it's different, though, in the pros. The heat is a little bit different. The shape of the football is different.
Another thing that I think that the Vikings might regret this offseason is not signing a starting caliber outside, or not outside, just a linebacker. I mean, they signed Casey Matthews, but I don't